get moving in the most electrifying Honda vehicles yet. Like the CR-V and Accord, with available hybrid powertrains designed for more responsive performance. Honda, the 2022 Kelley Blue Book's KBB.com best value brand. For a limited time, well-qualified buyers can get a 3.9% APR on a 2023 Honda CR-V Hybrid or 2023 Accord Hybrid.
For more details, contact your Louisiana Honda dealer today.
See dealer for financing details based on 2022 brand image awards from Kelley Blue Book. Visit KBB.com for more information.
We know y'all can cook real good, but sometimes the crew just wants Popeyes for dinner. And who can blame them? With our 10-piece box, everyone gets lots of our juicy, crunchy, and tasty mixed signature chicken for a price you'll love, too. So treat yourself and the crew to a chicken feast everyone can enjoy tonight. And get our 10-piece box at your nearest Popeyes today. Trust me, you're all gonna love it. Limited time at participating U.S. restaurants.
Love that chicken from Popeyes.
Hello, everybody. I'm Ed Robinson, and welcome to another exciting edition of The Robinson Show. On the program, we have Brendan Nunes. Brendan is the host of the King's Pulse and the King's Beat podcast. The podcasts are dedicated to covering Sacramento Kings content. He also provides commentary for a website called The Kings Herald. On the program, we discuss the current happenings with the Sacramento Kings. Also, we discuss the Golden One Center, which is the arena where the Kings play in downtown Sacramento. We also discussed NBA basketball being back in Sacramento and much more. Brendan is coming up after the break. Stay tuned. You're listening to The Robinson Show.
Oh, turn it up.
Got the icon pass, how to slash it. Plus destinations.
Speaking of, did you get your Icon Pass yet, Sean?
I'm on IconPass.com dropping in right now. Wow, from just $2.59 adult? Okay, done.
Get moving in the most electrifying Honda vehicles yet, like the CR-V and Accord, with available hybrid powertrains designed for more responsive performance. Honda, the 2022 Kelley Blue Book's KBB.com best value brand. For a limited time, well-qualified buyers can get a 3.9% APR on a 2023 Honda CR-V Hybrid or 2023 Accord Hybrid.
For more details, contact your Louisiana Honda dealer today.
See dealer for financing details based on 2022 brand image awards from Kelley Blue Book. Visit KBB.com for more information.
We know y'all can cook real good, but sometimes the crew just wants Popeyes for dinner. And who can blame them? With our 10-piece box, everyone gets lots of our juicy, crunchy, and tasty mixed signature chicken for a price you'll love, too. So treat yourself and the crew to a chicken feast everyone can enjoy tonight. And get our 10-piece box at your nearest Popeyes today. Trust me, you're all gonna love it. Limited time at participating U.S. restaurants.
Love that chicken from Popeyes.
We know y'all can cook real good, but sometimes the crew just wants Popeyes for dinner. And who can blame them? With our 10-piece box, everyone gets lots of our juicy, crunchy, and tasty mixed signature chicken for a price you'll love, too. So treat yourself and the crew to a chicken feast everyone can enjoy tonight. And get our 10-piece box at your nearest Popeyes today. Trust me, you're all gonna love it. Limited time at participating U.S. restaurants.
Love that chicken from Popeyes.
Raising Cane's founder, Todd Graves, is an American success story.
Look where we came from and look what we're doing.
I'm just a Braca and cashier.
So he's tracking down game changers and visionaries to find out how they made it to the top.
I was just trying to do something that I love and be there for my child.
I got my first job at 15 years old. My mom didn't have enough money for homecoming.
Join him on his journey to find that. Secret Sauce with Todd Graves. New episodes Saturdays at 1 on A&E.
We know y'all can cook real good, but sometimes the crew just wants Popeyes for dinner. And who can blame them? With our 10-piece box, everyone gets lots of our juicy, crunchy, and tasty mixed signature chicken for a price you'll love, too. So treat yourself and the crew to a chicken feast everyone can enjoy tonight. And get our 10-piece box at your nearest Popeyes today. Trust me, you're all gonna love it.
Limited time at participating U.S. restaurants.
Love that chicken from Popeyes.
We know y'all can cook real good, but sometimes the crew just wants Popeyes for dinner. And who can blame them? With our 10-piece box, everyone gets lots of our juicy, crunchy, and tasty mixed signature chicken for a price you'll love, too. So treat yourself and the crew to a chicken feast everyone can enjoy tonight. And get our 10-piece box at your nearest Popeyes today. Trust me, you're all gonna love it.
Limited time at participating U.S. restaurants.
Love that chicken from Popeyes.
We know y'all can cook real good, but sometimes the crew just wants Popeyes for dinner. And who can blame them? With our 10-piece box, everyone gets lots of our juicy, crunchy, and tasty mixed signature chicken for a price you'll love, too. So treat yourself and the crew to a chicken feast everyone can enjoy tonight. And get our 10-piece box at your nearest Popeyes today. Trust me, you're all gonna love it. Limited time at participating U.S. restaurants.
Love that chicken from Popeyes.
Guarded by Tatum, they go into Sabonis. Got to his strong hand. Three on the shot clock. Fox going to have to launch. And hits nothing but cord. Fox against Horford. Feeling comfortable with that 30 ball. And it's butter.
Star break is just the number of different ways he's showing us that he can score. Last possession, a great example.
Fox inside. And one. Fox cross court to Barnes. They switch it on to Murray. Now Fox. Got to the office, and that's where he's most efficient, right there at the elbow. Fox with a nice crossover, Euro stepping for the bucket. Sabonis got a little one on him, and muscled right through Jaylen Brown. Fox hits the screen for Murray, Sabonis does it himself. Inside to Sabonis, Edwards! Sabonis getting to his strong hand. Little jump hook, pure. Here's Murray. Shot clock down to five for Sabonis. Working from the nail. Got to go. Oh, Sabonis is a bully down there. Look like Debo. Here's Murray back at you. Shot clock down to six. Murray with a catch and shoot three. That's way off. Nice flip by the screen. Murray with the jump hook. Here's Murray on the bounce against Horford. Hey, that's the growth area in Keegan Murray's game. Fox, a little in-and-out dribble. Murray for three, got it. Smart turn the corner, and one. Keegan Murray got it. Murray with the anticipation. Murray for three, got it.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. That audio was courtesy of NBC Sports California, and that was the Sacramento Kings going up against the Boston Celtics from March the 21st of 2023. And some of those Kings players that were in action, that was De'Aaron Fox, also Domantas Sabonis, and Keegan Murray doing their thing for the Kings. And speaking of the Kings, they have been the hottest team in the NBA since the All-Star break. And to talk more about the recent resurgence of the Sacramento Kings, amongst other things, we want to welcome him back to the program. He covers the Sacramento Kings for Kings Pulse, for Blue Wire Pod, and also he covers the Kings beat for the Kings Herald. Let's welcome him back to the program, Brendan Nunez. Hey, Brendan, welcome back to the program, my man.
Thanks for having me on, man. I appreciate the invite.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the program. So, Brendan, the Sacramento Kings have been the surprise of this NBA season this year. There have been a lot of players that have made some big strides in this season for Sacramento. I want to start off talking about someone that was big in a big trade during the offseason, well, this past offseason, I should say, Kevin Huerter. There's a saying that goes, the one that got away, and Kevin Huerter was definitely the one that got away from the Atlanta Hawks coming over to the Sacramento Kings. Give me your thoughts on Kevin and his play so far this season.
Yeah, Kevin has been great for the Kings. I think that he is so essential for the spacing that I think helps optimize De'Aaron Fox and Domantas Sabonis, two guys that love to do a lot of their work around the rim. So having that ideal spacing is so important. And Kevin also is a really good connector on the offensive end. There's been games where De'Aaron Fox is unavailable and he'll take on a little bit more of a playmaking responsibility. Nothing crazy. A lot of that still does go through Domantas Sabonis, but Kevin Huerter does make a lot of the right passes in my mind, and they're pretty on time and on target. And he's been just extremely important for this team. He's played most games and just shooting, 40% on 6.7 threes a game is phenomenal for him. He's been able to take that jump that I think a lot of people expected him to do coming out of Atlanta just by getting more opportunity.
I want to move along now to, again, Sacramento is one of the youngest teams in the league, if not the youngest team in the league, but it's always good to have veteran leadership. And Harrison Barnes, he's only 30, but he has a lot of playoff experience and a lot of championship experience being with the Golden State Warriors, which is the other prominent team in the state of California. Give me your thoughts on Harrison's play this season.
I think Harrison's done kind of just what you would expect from Harrison. And last year, I think he could be frustrating for some people because he was at times relied upon to be the number three. Some nights it felt like the number two guy when it comes to scoring. And there is a slight bit of inconsistency with Harrison Barnes when it comes to the numbers he puts up. You know, there's days where he'll come out and put up 25, and it looks like it's something he should be able to do every night, but that's just not typically what you get from him. But there is a big difference in my mind when Harrison is playing well compared to maybe some of his quieter nights and what that means for Sacramento as a whole. You know, there's been 19 games this year where Harrison Barnes has scored 20 points, and the Kings have only lost 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of those 19. So I think that his on-court production is important, but they don't rely on it as much as they used to, which is pretty essential for the success of this roster as well. And you mentioned him being a veteran, which I think is really important. I think he has a calming presence on this team and has been a really good mentor for Keegan Murray. They're both Iowa guys as well. So I think having that calming voice and perspective and also championship experience, which is something that this team very much lacks.
You're absolutely right about that. And let's continue with the youth movement. So as you said, Brendan, that Harrison brings that calming presence with the veteran leadership and Malik Monk. Malik is one of the rising stars on this Sacramento team, and he's had an effective year this year. Just give me your thoughts on Malik and his play.
Yeah, Malik, you know, I think the big surprise for me, I think everybody knew that he's a bucket, that he can go out there and kind of get his own and have nights where he totally pops, you know, in that double overtime classic game, the 175-176 game against the Clippers. He drops 45. There's been two other times this year where he scores 30-plus. So, you know, he has nights where he can do that. But I think what surprised me the most is the playmaking. He is a much better passer than I had realized. He's up one assist from where he was last year with the Lakers, and that 3.9 he's averaging right now in his 22.5 minutes is a career high. He's just a total spark plug off the bench. There's maybe some nights where defenses are attacking him and the shot isn't falling, so it may be better to go in other directions, but he also has no issue when it is those type of nights. I think his personality is very infectious, obviously good friends with De'Aaron Fox as well, since they both spent time together in Kentucky. And I don't think that he will win the award, but I think that he could sneak onto some ballots for Sixth Man of the Year.
Yeah, definitely some strong consideration for Malik, considering what a solid year he's had so far. And speaking of a solid year, what a rookie campaign it's been for Keegan Murray. I mean, you talk about a walking bucket and someone who is definitely someone that can go to the hole, or someone that has some great outside shooting. Keegan Murray has demonstrated that this season. Give me your thoughts on Keegan and his play.
Yeah, there's flashes from Keegan that make you think that maybe there could be more. He's talked about sort of modeling his game after a Chris Middleton, and we'll see if that ends up developing down the line. But as of right now, he is primarily a spot-up shooter and a dang good one at that. You know, 40% from three on over six a game. He has a pretty short leash with Mike Brown. You know, I think a lot of top rookies come into the league and have a lot of wiggle room to make mistakes and play through them and kind of learn on the fly. And Keegan Murray's got to pick it up fast, and that's how it's been for him this year. I think he's done a great job doing that. He's the most even-keeled player I've ever been around. I wouldn't mind if he smiled and celebrated a little bit more after some big plays, but on the other end, if he's struggling a bit, that never seems to mess with him mentally in any sort of way. So just even keeled. And again, I mentioned at the top with Herter how essential the spacing has been for unlocking Fox and Sabonis, and Murray's a big part of that.
I want to stay just with Murray for a moment. The argument could be out for him that he could possibly be one of the top candidates for the Rookie of the Year award this year. There's been a There have been some solid rookies that have played tremendously this year. Paolo Banchero from the Orlando Magic, Jabari Smith Jr. from the Houston Rockets has played well. Jaden Ivey's been nice this year from the Detroit Pistons. Also, Benedict Mathurin from the Indiana Pacers. Also, you could put Jeremy Sochan from the San Antonio Spurs, just to name a few. But where do you see Keegan at, and possibly in terms of the Rookie of the Year award? Do you see him winning it or maybe placing in the top three?
Yeah, as of right now, I do think that that's Paolo Banchero's award. But I actually think number two as of late is probably Jalen Williams in OKC for me. I think he's been playing phenomenally recently. He's, you know, 13.5 points, 51% from the field, and doing a lot of off the dribble and intriguing things there. And after that is where I think Keegan could come into the conversation, although I do think that, like, Benedict Mathurin is in there as well. I think that Walker Kessler from Utah has really emerged as somebody that's intriguing there. So earlier in the year, I thought that he was probably the number two, but I think as he slowed down a little bit recently and other guys like Jalen Williams specifically have heated up, that Rookie of the Year is a little tough. I still think it's Paolo's award, but hoping that all rookie first team is still in the cards for Keegan.
Well, let's hope so, because definitely Keegan has had a solid rookie campaign. Speaking of someone that's been solid for a minute, De'Aaron Fox. I mean, while since he's come into the league, he's definitely been one of those rising young stars and a gentleman that had a solid career. One year at Kentucky and then making his mark in the NBA and an immediate impact, definitely wasting no time. Give me your thoughts on De'Aaron and his play this season.
Yeah, I mean, I think, again, the spacing is where this is so essential for what has been able to unlock De'Aaron. And not only that, but also Domantas Sabonis. I think having somebody that sets that level of screens has been so important for De'Aaron this year. And really his numbers don't pop like crazy compared to years prior. There is like a, you know, 4 or 5% jump in field goal percentage. And I guess you could say the same amount in 3-point, which does stand out a bit. But the big thing has been the clutch performances for De'Aaron this year. And admittedly, he didn't have the team around him before to have this amount of clutch situations, but he's leading the league in clutch points. And of all of the guys in the top 10, he is only second in field goal percentage behind Cam Thomas, who has played in a third of the amount of clutch situations that De'Aaron has. So to be shooting 53% from the field in the clutch, I think that he's sort of running away with that Jerry West Clutch Player of the Year award and just finally has the opportunity to show, I think, the player that he's been for a couple years with a better roster around him and more eyes because of that.
Well, speaking of more eyes, I want to stay just with De'Aaron for a moment. This year's MVP race involves Nikola Jokic, Joel Embiid. Also, you could put Giannis Antetokounmpo and Jason Tatum in there as well. What do you see De'Aaron's place possibly in this year's MVP race?
Yeah, that's a tough one for me. I do think that Joel Embiid, the three primarily that you mentioned at the top there, Joel Embiid, Nikola Jokic and Giannis Antetokounmpo are the standouts to me, and I don't know that I think anybody else is all too close since Tatum has slowed down, Curry's dealt with injuries, Luka has just not quite done it the same way he did at the beginning of the year when it comes to team success and dealt with some injuries as well. So I think that De'Aaron's been great, but I think it's more of a all-NBA conversation rather than MVP, just because there's some ridiculous talents around the rest of the teams in the league.
All right, fair enough. And speaking of someone that's been a ridiculous talent for quite a long time, and Domantas Sabonis. I mean, we know about Domantas's time with the Indiana Pacers, very effective, making an all-star game during his time in Indiana. But now this is his second season with the Sacramento Kings, and, man, he's made an immediate impact. You mentioned about De'Aaron Fox and his rise this year. This is due to, you mentioned, Domantas Sabonis being the one that can distribute the ball to him. Give me your thoughts on Domantas and his play this year.
Yeah, he's been phenomenal. I think that, again, that neither one of these guys will draw any serious consideration for MVP, but I think Sabonis would be even more so, at least closer to that conversation than De'Aaron, because Sabonis just does everything out there. You know, he's leading the league with 12 rebounds a game, 19 points, and then you also got those 7.3 assists in there on 60% from the field. Sabonis just does everything. I think he is such an essential cog that keeps everything moving in what is right now the best offense, at least offensive rating, of all time. And just the screens that he sets, it's all the nuances of the game, right? You don't even necessarily notice it pop off the screen, and then you look at the stat sheet and it's the end of a quarter and he's got 8, 5, and 6 just casually. So I think he just does all the little things out there. And, you know, there's a really good two-man game between Kevin Huerter and Sabonis. There's a good two-man game between Malik Monk and Sabonis, between De'Aaron Fox and Sabonis. And you just keep going down the list. And it's like, at some point, it just needs to be accepted. Domantas Sabonis just makes his teammates so much better. So I think he's been so essential to the success that Sacramento's had this year.
I'd like to stay with Domantas for a moment. You mentioned about Domantas and the connection that he has with De'Aaron. And also, we mentioned Malik Monk as well. Domantas, one of the best things I love about his play is that not only is he an effective rebounder, but his passing skills are phenomenal, and also he's a solid shooter as well. There are a lot of great big men in our league that can do it all. Nikola Jokic, Joel Embiid, Giannis Antetokounmpo. Also, you can put Julius Randle and Karl Anthony Towns in the mix as well, but Domantas, in my opinion, is very underrated when it comes to those big men. Two-part question. Number one, do you think Domantas is the most underrated big man in the league? And number two, do you think Domantas is just as qualified as those gentlemen that I mentioned earlier?
I think Sabonis is probably up there when it comes to underrated players in the league. Again, it's all the little details. It's just things that are so easy to overlook unless you're specifically watching for them. So I do think he's up there. I think that when it comes to comparing to some of these other guys, Nikola Jokic, or if you throw Joel Embiid in there, or even a healthy Anthony Davis, I think the standout difference is, first of all, a little bit of size and just the difference in scoring. You know, when you're talking 19 points for Sabonis compared to the 24 that Jokic is giving you, and also Jokic is probably the only big in the league that's a better passer than Domantas Sabonis, and Jokic is just his own animal. But then the jump in scoring, for example, between Sabonis and Embiid, when you're going from Sabonis' 19 to Joel's 33.6, I think it's the big standout difference. So Sabonis has his moments where he can go get his own on the offensive end, but I think primarily you're seeing him set up other guys, and that's probably what puts him a slight tier behind those other two, but that's still an amazing compliment when those other two guys are probably the two front runners for MVP.
All right, and speaking of somebody that could be a front runner for an award, what a first year it's been for Mike Brown as the head coach of the Sacramento Kings. He had success as the head coach of the Cleveland Cavaliers, and of course he had success as being an assistant for the Golden State Warriors, winning multiple NBA championships, and also he won a championship as an assistant with the San Antonio Spurs. Man, a two-part question. Number one, how would you rate Coach Brown's first year in Sacramento? And number two, did you expect his first year in Sacramento to be successful like this?
Well, to answer your second part first, no chance I expected it to be this successful. You know, there was, to an extent, I could have seen a jump in improvement, but I was somebody that was thinking it was going to be a battle just for Sacramento to get into the play-in tournament and sort of be in a similar spot that you're looking at the like Lakers are right now, or the Timberwolves. And so I never expected this type of jump. And again, for it to all be clicking on the offensive end makes sense, but I never would have thought it would come at this level. And it's a credit to everybody, man. It's all the players on this roster for making it work so quickly, but absolutely to Mike Brown and his entire coaching staff as well. I think that everybody else on that staff can be overlooked a bit as well. Like, I think Jordy Fernandez was considered notably for that Atlanta opening. It wouldn't surprise me if he ended up getting a job in the future. Jay Triano's on the staff, who's a former head coach himself and extremely experienced. So I think that Mike Brown and his entire staff that he assembled and was able to put together because of the pre-built relationships he has in this league is being what a lot of people talk about is not only one of the best coaches, but one of the best people in this league is a credit to him. And I think that he should easily win the Coach of the Year award.
I like to stay just with what you mentioned towards the end about you see Coach Brown possibly winning this year's Coach of the Year award. There have been a lot of viable candidates this year. Michael Malone from the Denver Nuggets. Also, you have Doc Rivers from the Philadelphia 76ers. What a first year that Joe Mazzulla has had with the Boston Celtics. Also, you can put Tyronn Lue from the Los Angeles Clippers in there as well. What's your rebuttal on Coach Brown, in your opinion, on why he should win the Head Coach of the Year award?
Yeah, I think it's a lot of kind of what we mentioned right there a second ago is that nobody expected this team to be in this position. And some of these other rosters, like, do have, I think you would say, more talent. Like, I think the one other one that stands out to me outside of what you mentioned is Mike Budenholzer, but we all know the talent that's on that roster. Joe Mazzulla, I previously thought was up there, but as Celtics have started to slump a little bit, I question that. I think the big difference to me is all these other teams were expected to be towards the top. All these other teams do have MVP caliber candidates on their roster, and I don't think Sacramento quite has that. They did manage to get two All-Stars this year, but I think some of that is due to Coach Brown optimizing them. And I think what it comes down to for me is just outperforming expectations so much more than any other team in the league.
All right. And, you know, every team has their head coach. And as you mentioned, Brendan, having an effective coaching staff. And the one thing the person that has to put that staff together is the president of basketball operations and the general manager, Monty McNair. Monty's been with the organization for quite a while now, but he's done a good job in such a short amount of time. Just give me your thoughts on Monty and what he's done with the Kings this season.
I think what's impressed me most about Monty in his tenure is his patience. You know, there was a couple times that he probably could have pulled the trigger on different moves, whether that's John Collins or using a first-round pick on something else this year rather than the Kevin Huerter trade, or I'm sorry, their first-round pick in 2024 rather than that Kevin Huerter deal, or moving De'Aaron Fox last year rather than Tyrese Halliburton or vice versa. And the willingness to wait for the right deal and also recognize what that right deal is, specifically talking that Tyrese Halliburton, Buddy Hield deal in exchange for Domantas Sabonis, was absolutely ridiculed at the time. And I was somebody that was extremely skeptical about that deal. And that has paid off, you know, going and getting Malik Monk for a discount deal, or at least what now in my mind looks like a good value sort of discount deal, I think is a big plus. Obviously trading for Kevin Huerter. So I think I very much applaud McNair's patience and also just ability to recognize what his team needs and where they're at. The Keegan Murray pick is another standout. Everybody was clamoring for Jaden Ivey, not thinking that a more short-sighted pick was the way to go, because how good is this team going to be? But he had faith in this team, and as he should have, apparently.
All right. And speaking of something that's apparent in this season for the Sacramento Kings is where they play at the Golden One Center. And I tell you one thing, Brendan, this season the Kings have lit that place up with their surprising play. Just for those that have never had a chance to experience a Sacramento Kings home game, specifically at the Golden One Center, can you describe what the atmosphere is like there?
It's electric, man. It's sold out every night this year. It's 18. They're adding new seats in preparation for playoffs, figuring out new ways to get people in the building. The standing room only areas are absolutely packed. I think it's just a big credit to, I mean, first of all, I think it's an absolutely beautiful building. It's one of the more technologically advanced buildings that is in the NBA. But it's a big credit to the fan base, man. When it's been 16 years that this team has not seen the postseason and the fan base remained extremely loyal throughout that entire process, of course they're going to go crazy when things are going well. And not only going well, they're extremely good this year and in a position that I don't think anybody could have seen coming. So it's a big credit to not only a beautiful building, but a city that has totally rallied behind this team and stayed by their side through the decade and a half plus of down basketball. So it's one of the loudest environments that I've been in, and that's a nightly basis. There was a weekday night game earlier this year against the Detroit Pistons that was just so loud, and it's every single night. It's every single night, and it's a big credit to this fan base that's been through so much and just happy to finally get a taste of some success.
Rightfully so, and I'd like to stay just with Golden One Center. There are a lot of talented NBA teams in the state of California. You have the Golden State Warriors that play in the Bay Area in San Francisco. They play at the Chase Center. You've got the Los Angeles Clippers and the Los Angeles Lakers that both play at the Crypto.com Arena. And as we mentioned earlier, the Sacramento Kings, they play at the Golden One Center. But in your opinion, Brendan, what makes the Golden One Center different from the Chase Center in the Crypto.com Arena?
Yeah, I do think that I have to point back to the fans. You know, it's all loyal fans. There's no new Kings fans. I guess that's starting to become a thing this year. But when it comes to in-stadium, it's all people that have been fans and been through so much. You know, Golden State Warriors have become one of the biggest organizations in the entire world. I think when you talked about when the Warriors first became relevant after having a similar decade plus of not being in the postseason, that I kind of grew up around that Oracle Arena, and it had a similar feeling in there of just fans that are loyal and are finally getting to experience good basketball. And, you know, eventually after four championships will do it for you, you get to see a little bit more suits in the stadium rather than jerseys and people making it a business trip and things like that. And obviously LA is, there's, I think, nights where you could say there's better things to do in LA, or people could just treat it as something to go do that night. But anybody going to a Kings game is going there to just support the heck out of the team that they've loved for a long time and finally get to, again, experience some quality basketball.
You're right about that. And speaking of quality basketball, it is, as you mentioned earlier, it's been a decade and a half since the city of Sacramento has experienced quality NBA basketball again. And certainly in the heyday, well, before this current heyday, but in the heyday in the era of Chris Webber and Vlade Divac and Jason Williams and Mike Bibby, just to name a few, Co Arena. What are the differences, in your opinion, between the Golden One Center and the Arco Arena?
I think it's night and day compared to the layout and the technology. You know, there were a lot of wooden seats in Arco, and to the point where the whole Arco Thunder thing came from, fans would stomp their feet and you would feel practically the entire arena shaking. And, you know, that's a cool feeling, but also maybe not the greatest sign for the infrastructure of that building. So I think it was definitely time for an upgrade. I think, for example, the Jumbotron and the lighting in Golden One Center is absolutely beautiful. And I think a lot of people will have a nostalgic feel for Arco for sure. But I think just objectively, Golden One Center is such a more advanced building and up with the times. And also just it's right in the heart of downtown Sacramento and their downtown commons area. And a lot of, you know, I almost expect them to do not the same as, it's not as big of an area as like Jurassic Park in Toronto, or I forget the name they use for outside their stadium in Milwaukee as well. But there's definitely spaces to fill the entire front of the arena there as well, and restaurants and everything. So I think it's in a great location and just a absolutely beautiful building.
All right. It looks like from watching Sacramento Kings games, or just the outside of it, and the inside, it looks like a magnificent facility. And Sacramento, as we talked about, Brendan, is one of those magnificent cities for NBA basketball. We know the city of Sacramento doesn't have a lot of professional sports franchises. They really haven't had a lot of professional sports franchises in that city's history. However, the Kings, it revolves back around the Sacramento Kings, and with it being really the end-all be-all in the city of Sacramento. And I know you mentioned earlier about the fans being hype at Golden 1 Center for NBA basketball. And as you mentioned, it's been a decade and a half since the Kings have enjoyed this type of success again. What's the fever pitch like in Sacramento, Brendan, with NBA basketball being back in Sacramento the way that it is?
It is so well-deserved for the fan base. And like you said, there's no other primary sports teams out here. They have a minor league soccer team. They have minor league baseball, but just nothing that is quite the caliber of what's going on with the Kings in the heart of downtown. So I think it's a lot of the same things that I've mentioned, man, that just there's been so much hunger for a good basketball team that the city finally getting that and remaining loyal the entire time. I think even in years prior when they were not good, that stadium was still on sort of flirting with being sold out more often than not. So it's sort of a community thing as well. You know, it goes outside the stadium. You see a lot more people wearing Kings things around the town. Obviously the beam is something that people have sort of rallied around and enjoy to see, and cool that I can see it from my apartment. I'm 10 minutes away from downtown. So it definitely goes beyond just in stadium, and you kind of see it in day-to-day life.
And speaking of day-to-day life, we know that we talked about earlier in the state of California, there are a lot of NBA teams. The Kings are in Sacramento, Los Angeles with the Lakers and the Clippers, and in San Francisco or the Bay Area, you have the Golden State Warriors. But I want to ask you, in your opinion, Brendan, what makes Kings fans different from Lakers and Clippers fans and Warriors fans?
Just everything they've been through. I do think that there are some Warriors fans, original Warriors fans, that I actually happen to grow up around a handful of that are extremely loyal and similar, but the entirety of Golden 1 Center is filled with that. I think that in L.A., again, sometimes it could just be something to do there. And when it comes to who's filling in the stadium, I think that there's just not the same connection to the organization for a majority of the fan base in my mind. I think, again, just having been through that 16-year playoff drought where there was never very many moments even where there could be a sense of optimism. It was doom and gloom. It was the Kings. They were an absolute joke of an organization. And I think to finally feel respected and just be back on the map has led to, and all the down years has led to their just only being loyal, real fans.
Yeah, those fans, I tell you what, are some of the most loyal and most dedicated, not just in professional sports, but in the NBA. And we've seen it in the past, especially during the era with Chris Webber, Vlade Divac, Jason Williams, and the Mike Bibby, just to name a few, as well as can't forget about Peja Stojakovic. And it's great to see that the Magic is back in Sacramento with NBA basketball. You know, Brendan, we've had an NBA All-Star game that just passed in Salt Lake City. And the city of Sacramento, as we've talked about, one of the most loyal and most dedicated fan bases in the NBA. What are the chances of the city of Sacramento possibly hosting an NBA All-Star game in the near future? Because Indianapolis will host next year's game in 2024. So what do you think of the chances or the likelihood of the city of Sacramento possibly hosting an NBA All-Star game?
I think it would take a few years, but I think that the city could handle it. I think that, you know, for example, we did just see March Madness, the first two rounds of March Madness come through Golden 1 Center, and I think they did a great job of hosting that. So I think what it's going to come down to for Sacramento, I think logistically they can totally cover it. what it's going to come down to is ownership being willing to or seeing it as fitting to. I'm sure ownership would love to host it, to make that bid, and it's a couple years out from happening. I forget. I know you said Indiana next year. I think they already have the next couple of years planned out as well. So it would be a few years removed, but I think logistically that this city and building could totally pull that off.
All right, definitely. So hopefully, you know, the NBA is definitely well represented in Sacramento, and it's been that way for such a long time. Let's hope that Sacramento will get an opportunity to host an NBA All-Star game real soon. And you heard it from him. He is Brendan Nunes. He's a contributor for the Kings Beat, which is for the Kings Herald, and he is the host of Kings Pulse for Blue Wire Pods. Again, thank you so much, Brendan, for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the program. Just telling everybody what's going on over at Kings Pulse as well as the Kings Beat.
Yeah, it's been fun to cover a good team for once, and I think it's just what you pointed out. I got the two podcasts going on, Kings Pulse and Kings Beat, and then some writing from myself and all the other great guys and gals that are over at the Kings Herald. So I appreciate you having me on, and always glad to talk some Kings basketball.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule. And tell everybody where they can find you on social media, as well as Kings Pulse, also the Kings Beat and Kings Herald as well. And any other websites, let them know that as well.
Yep, it would just be kingsherald.com for the site, and you can look up either Kings Pulse or Kings Beat on any major podcast listening platform. And if anybody happens to want to check me out on Twitter, that's at Brendan Nunes NBA. So I appreciate you.
Appreciate you as well. And you heard it from me. It's Brendan Nunes. He covers the Sacramento Kings. He's the host of the Kings Pulse podcast for Blue Wire Pods. And also he is the host of the podcast Beat. And he's also a writer for the Kings Herald. Brendan, again, thank you so much, man, for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us. If ever you want to come back on, just feel free to let us know.
Sounds great. Thank you, man.
You're welcome. Thank you. We'll be back with more right after this.
Guarded by Tatum. They go into Sabonis. Got to his strong hand. Three on the shot clock. Fox can have the launch. And hits nothing but Ford. Fox against Horford. Feeling comfortable with that three ball. And it's butter.
Star break is just a number of different ways he's showing us that he can score. Last possession, a great example.
Fox inside. And one. Fox cross court to Barnes. They switch it on to Murray. Now Fox got to the office, and that's where he's most efficient, right there at the elbow. Fox with a nice crossover, Euro stepping for the bucket. Sabonis got a little one on him and muscled right through Jaylen Brown. Fox hits the screen for Murray. Sabonis does it himself. Inside to Sabonis. Sabonis getting to his strong hand. Little jump hook, pure. Here's Murray. Shot clock down to five for Sabonis. Working from the nail. Got to go. Oh, Sabonis is a bully down there. Look like Devo. Here's Murray back at you. Shot clock down to six. Murray with a catch and 2-3. That's way off. Nice flip by the screen. Murray with the jump hook. Here's Murray on the bounce against Horford. Hey, that's the growth area in Keegan Murray's game. Fox, a little in-and-out dribble. Murray for three, got it. Smart turn the corner, and one. Keegan Murray got it. Murray with the anticipation. Murray for three, got it.
We know y'all can cook real good, but sometimes the crew just wants Popeyes for dinner. And who can blame them? With our 10-piece box, everyone gets lots of our juicy, crunchy, and tasty mixed signature chicken for a price you'll love, too. So treat yourself and the crew to a chicken feast everyone can enjoy tonight. And get our 10-piece box at your nearest Popeyes today. Trust me, you're all gonna love it. Limited time at participating U.S. restaurants.
Love that chicken from Popeyes.
We know y'all can cook real good, but sometimes the crew just wants Popeyes for dinner. And who can blame them? With our 10-piece box, everyone gets lots of our juicy, crunchy, and tasty mixed signature chicken for a price you'll love, too. So treat yourself and the crew to a chicken feast everyone can enjoy tonight. And get our 10-piece box at your nearest Popeyes today. Trust me, you're all gonna love it. Limited time at participating U.S. restaurants.
Love that chicken from Popeyes.
We know y'all can cook real good, but sometimes the crew just wants Popeyes for dinner. And who can blame them? With our 10-piece box, everyone gets lots of our juicy, crunchy, and tasty mixed signature chicken for a price you'll love, too. So treat yourself and the crew to a chicken feast everyone can enjoy tonight. And get our 10-piece box at your nearest Popeyes today. Trust me, you're all gonna love it. Limited time at participating U.S. restaurants.
Love that chicken from Popeyes.
Oh, turn it up.
Got your icon pass, power slash it. 50 plus destinations.
Speaking of, did you get your icon pass yet, Sean?
I'm on iconpass.com dropping in right now. Wow, from just $2.59 adult? Okay, done.
Raising Cane's founder Todd Graves is interviewing game changers to find their secret of success.
I was just trying to do something that I love and be there for my child.
Secret Sauce with Todd Graves. New episodes Saturdays at 1 on A&E.
We know y'all can cook real good, but sometimes the crew just wants Popeyes for dinner. And who can blame them? With our 10-piece box, everyone gets lots of our juicy, crunchy, and tasty mixed signature chicken for a price you'll love, too. So treat yourself and the crew to a chicken feast everyone can enjoy tonight. And get our 10-piece box at your nearest Popeyes today. Trust me, you're all gonna love it. Limited time at participating U.S. restaurants.
Love that chicken from Popeyes.
We know y'all can cook real good, but sometimes the crew just wants Popeyes for dinner. And who can blame them? With our 10-piece box, everyone gets lots of our juicy, crunchy, and tasty mixed signature chicken for a price you'll love, too. So treat yourself and the crew to a chicken feast everyone can enjoy tonight. And get our 10-piece box at your nearest Popeyes today. Trust me, you're all gonna love it. Limited time at participating U.S. restaurants.
Love that chicken from Popeyes.
We know y'all can cook real good, but sometimes the crew just wants Popeyes for dinner. And who can blame them? With our 10-piece box, everyone gets lots of our juicy, crunchy, and tasty mixed signature chicken for a price you'll love, too. So treat yourself and the crew to a chicken feast everyone can enjoy tonight. And get our 10-piece box at your nearest Popeyes today. Trust me, you're all gonna love it. Limited time at participating U.S. restaurants.
Love that chicken from Popeyes.
All right, everybody, that's going to do it for another exciting edition of The Robinson Show. Once again, a big special thank you to Brendan Nunes, host of the King's Pulse and the King's Beat podcast. And he's also a contributor providing commentary for the website, The King's Herald. Once again, a big special thank you to Brendan Nunes for giving us great insights on the return of basketball in Sacramento with the NBA's Sacramento Kings. Until next time, everybody, remember, put God first in everything you do and you can't go wrong. Until next time, stick to the script. I'm out. Peace.
We know y'all can cook real good, but sometimes the crew just wants Popeyes for dinner. And who can blame them? With our 10-piece box, everyone gets lots of our juicy, crunchy, and tasty mixed signature chicken for a price you'll love, too. So treat yourself and the crew to a chicken feast everyone can enjoy tonight. And get our 10-piece box at your nearest Popeyes today. Trust me, you're all gonna love it. Limited time at participating U.S. restaurants.
Love that chicken from Popeyes.
We know y'all can cook real good, but sometimes the crew just wants Popeyes for dinner. And who can blame them? With our 10-piece box, everyone gets lots of our juicy, crunchy, and tasty mixed signature chicken for a price you'll love, too. So treat yourself and the crew to a chicken feast everyone can enjoy tonight. And get our 10-piece box at your nearest Popeyes today. Trust me, you're all gonna love it. Limited time at participating U.S. restaurants.
Love that chicken from Popeyes.
We know y'all can cook real good, but sometimes the crew just wants Popeyes for dinner. And who can blame them? With our 10-piece box, everyone gets lots of our juicy, crunchy, and tasty mixed signature chicken for a price you'll love, too. So treat yourself and the crew to a chicken feast everyone can enjoy tonight. And get our 10-piece box at your nearest Popeyes today. Trust me, you're all gonna love it. Limited time at participating U.S. restaurants.
Love that chicken from Popeyes.
We know y'all can cook real good, but sometimes the crew just wants Popeyes for dinner. And who can blame them? With our 10-piece box, everyone gets lots of our juicy, crunchy, and tasty mixed signature chicken for a price you'll love, too. So treat yourself and the crew to a chicken feast everyone can enjoy tonight. And get our 10-piece box at your nearest Popeyes today. Trust me, you're all gonna love it. Limited time at participating U.S. restaurants.
Love that chicken from Popeyes.
We know y'all can cook real good, but sometimes the crew just wants Popeyes for dinner. And who can blame them? With our 10-piece box, everyone gets lots of our juicy, crunchy, and tasty mixed signature chicken for a price you'll love, too. So treat yourself and the crew to a chicken feast everyone can enjoy tonight. And get our 10-piece box at your nearest Popeyes today. Trust me, you're all gonna love it. Limited time at participating U.S. restaurants.
Love that chicken from Popeyes.